shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Illness doesn't care where you live.
This was the scene. This video just in. This is Al Megrahi.
Well, you know, you hear people talk about trying to slim down for the summer, you know, lose weight to get into that swimsuit.
There has not been extraordinary delays on the U.S. government's part.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where we have a news, talk, and entertainment show. You know, that basically knows what it's talking about. That's what we pride ourselves on. We tell you the story that's actually happening. They may be reporting a guy got released from a Lockerbie prison. They may be saying it's an outrage. They may be saying that it goes contrary to civilized law. They may be saying, oh, it's only fair because the guy had prostate cancer. But only on this show do you really find out what the actual story behind the story is, or the real story is. And it doesn't take, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon, but a lot of people don't have the time, man. I read the story. There it is. I guess that's what they said it is. I'm pissed off. Or maybe the people in Libya are happy, and maybe that's justice. Maybe it ain't. No, the real story is it is a political move by the United Kingdom, not Scotland, by London, to work something out with Libya when it comes to a decreasing oil supply since 2005. And furthermore, if you think that the United Kingdom, to wit Great Britain, to wit London, to wit whatever that guy's name is,
what do you mean, too weird? You go like a twit?
No, not a twit. What's the guy? Who's the guy that runs, what do you call it?
England?
Yeah.
His name is Brown.
That's it, Gordon Brown. So there's a guy who is, you know, he knows which side of the bread the butter's on, and that's just the way the ball game is played, and we do it over here in the United States. And is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. Morally, it probably sucks. It's not the it's not a courageous thing to do, not a morally courageous thing to do at all. No, it isn't. But let me ask you a question. You know, if you put together a team of NATO armies, NATO military units from countries around the world, and you go after a terrorist organization like Al-Qaeda, and you have the United States, which is fully capable of defending itself from Al-Qaeda reprisal, and then maybe you've got a country like Fiji, which ain't, or maybe you've got a country in between like Great Britain, which can defend itself only to a point, and then they have to, you know, shut the subways down or whatever they do over there. I mean, everybody's got different considerations when they're dealing with a scum. And as far as I'm concerned, this guy, Megrahi, he ain't no better than these guys that did that job on 9/11. So it's all the same cesspool. And it goes back to that original discussion we had right after 9/11 when people were saying, well, Al-Qaeda did, you know, they didn't do it. Al-Qaeda did it. And that group didn't do it. They did. Ah, it's all the same pack of animals. And to figure out who did what to who, it's all the same underworld. It's all the same. Just all the same sewer flotsam as far as I'm concerned. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Obama guarantees health care overhaul will pass. Boy, there's a gutsy statement, huh? That's right. The President of the United States says it's going to pass. Don't worry about it. Take it to the bank. President Obama guaranteed today, or that would be yesterday. We are 8 minutes into Friday. That his health care overhaul will win approval, and he said any bill he signs will reduce rapidly rising costs, protect consumers from insurance abuses, and provide affordable choices to the uninsured while not adding to the federal deficit. Now, we do know, and I don't know where he's coming from with that particular statement, we do know that they are looking at $289 billion worth of deficit spending over 10 years to fund a national plan. So when he says it won't add to the federal deficit, what I think he's saying is after we do the math. So let's just keep that in mind. After the math, Obama listed those four bullet points as his basic requirements in response to a question from a caller to a Philadelphia-based talk radio show. Michael Smirkanish interviewed, whatever happened to that other guy, Michael Basden?
Yeah, Michael Basden show.
You want to go on a Michael Basden show, man. He could help you. You could help him, Mr. President. Anyway, he was on the Michael Smirkanish show, and he interviewed Obama at the White House during the show, and Obama took questions from several listeners. Another caller said he sensed the administration's knees are buckling a little bit under criticism of the proposals. Obama said he was as determined as ever, and I guarantee you, Joe, the name of the caller, who was a member of Smirkanish's staff, no, I'm kidding, no, he wasn't. A former campaign worker. No, we're just joking around. Anyway, I guarantee you, Joe, we're going to get health care reform done. I wonder if they actually, you know, if they set up calls for the radio show. A lot of people thought they set up that little girl when she stood up and she asked her dopey question. I don't have a problem with a little kid. I don't have any any question as to whether the little girl was a setup. In other words, you don't need to say, you got to understand something, folks. When the little girl stood up and asked the question, you don't have to say, let's make sure she asks a friendly question. It's a kid. Okay? And little kids are going to ask little kid questions. What's in the minds of people who are saying, I think it was staged. Oh, they set her up. Her mom worked for Obama. Okay. So maybe that guaranteed her a good seat in the auditorium. But what kind of question a little girl going to ask that a president of the United States can't handle? Even if she said something along the lines of, you know, Mr. President, I think you got big ears. I mean, you know, whatever it was going to be, I'm sure he was going to be able to field it.
Well, they have to set up the question to make him look good.
And they pick a 9-year-old kid. Come on, think about it for just 5 seconds. Yeah, okay, her mom worked for the campaign. That doesn't mean they said, let's go to little Susie Brown over here because I know she's going to ask a friendly question. They said, let's go to little Susie Brown over here because she's a kid. Now, if you really want to criticize the people who vet these questions, who screen the questioners, and who screen the individuals who are going to ask questions, if you really want to criticize them for using a child in the manner that they did. You don't have to get with the kid beforehand and say, we're going to ask you a question, and we want you to say this, and we want you to say that. No, you don't do that. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is just go to the kid. I'm going to go to you, and you, kid, because we want to go to a kid, because kids are always very sympathetic, and we always use kids, don't we, to promote our own political agenda. And if people think that Obama is bad for doing that, and personally, I don't particularly like it, I got a whole bunch of other folks with all other kinds of political points of view that trot their kids out morning, noon, and night with signs walking down streets, you name it. I mean, it's a great American pastime, pulling your kid out of school or out of bed or off the playground to hold some stupid sign while mom and dad get their cookies. President Obama tells a caller that health care will pass.
I guarantee you, Joe,
yeah,
we are going to get health care reform done.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of people out there who are hand-wringing, and folks in the press are following every little twist and turn of the legislative process. You know, passing a big bill like this is always messy.
And then the guy said,
I had a wet dream last night.
But by then they had to move on. Now here is, will illegals get health insurance benefits in the proposed plan? This question was asked. Obama weighs in.
None of the bills that have been voted on in Congress and none of the proposals coming out of the White House propose giving coverage to illegal immigrants. None of them. That has never been on the table. Nobody has discussed it. So everybody who's listening out there, when you start hearing that somehow this is all designed to provide health insurance to illegal immigrants, that is simply not true.
One more question. Are we going to be insuring illegal immigrants, Mr. President? I don't think you've covered that. Finally, President Obama says he's not proposing a total government takeover of the health insurance industry.
All we've said is, let's keep the private system intact, but let's make sure that people who right now can't get health insurance, about 46 million, that they're able to buy into the market. And number two, let's have some consumer protections to make sure that those of us who have health insurance don't end up getting a bad deal because we didn't read the fine print and we think that we have coverage. When we finally get sick and we need it, it turns out that we're vulnerable because insurance companies aren't operating in the interests of their customers.
Once again, that was President Obama on the
Johnny Diablo
radio show yesterday, and you heard him explaining there, to the extent that the government wants to ensure that you have coverage that's going to be adequate, that's called regulating an industry. That's not called taking over an entire industry. It's called regulatory reform. It's happened before in the history of this country and in very popular ways. So what's really happening here? And again, we go back to a peculiar American profile. Unlike any other people in the world, we have such a value placed upon our individual freedom and the freedom of our businesses to conduct themselves as they wish that we even at times defend businesses that are putting the screws to us. It's interesting. If it comes between the government and private business, Americans generally will go ahead and protect, defend private business, even if it's costing them money, as much money, if not more, than a tax would. even if this money that it's costing them is not voted on by a Congress, but is just passed along to them without asking their opinion by a health insurance company. It's not unlike sort of the abused wife syndrome. You know, no matter how many times you get your face smacked, you still tell the cops, please don't take him to jail because he's a really great guy. Maybe that's it, man. Maybe it's a Stockholm syndrome. Maybe we are so used to doing the bidding of private businesses and we feel so comfortable with that because we think they're us. We believe that business is more us than government is. Well, I get it how guys do business. You know, I do the same thing. Really? You'd put the screws to people? Even if they couldn't afford it, huh? Well, you know, business is business. And a guy's trying to make a dollar. And, you know, kind of like that. And if you point out to them, well, the guy that he's making the dollar off of is you, the guy says, well, I'm okay with that, all right? Because I'm a very generous guy, and I don't mind. I can afford it. That lady that, by the way, yesterday who said, that Pam Pilger, the one who said Heil Hitler to that guy, and then she went, nah, 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 with her fingers in her ears. In other words, she was like about mentally 4 years old, and then they interviewed her later, and she said, well, you know what? I have health insurance through my job, but my husband has no health insurance. You're not guaranteed health insurance. My husband has 3 jobs, and he has no health insurance. Right? And she sounded so comfortable with that. Like if her husband got sick and they had no way of paying for it, she's really comfortable with that. Well, guess what? Her husband is probably on her plan. He has no health insurance with the jobs he's got. I got money that says she's got him on her plan. Nobody stands there with that kind of light and breezy tone, almost as if they're laying by a pool someplace and says, oh, and by the way, my husband has 3 jobs and no health insurance, and I'm just fine with that. And you know what? It's not a God-given right. I have health insurance, but my husband doesn't. And so I'm proving that I'm walking the walk, and I'm not just talking the talk. Some people just are going to die without health insurance, including my husband. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Oh, okay. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into what Mitt Romney was saying about all of this. Mitt Romney, who looks to be the... in my opinion, the front runner for the Republican nomination in 2012. Not that we have to get into talking about that just yet, but, you know, this Palin option, man, it just don't play. It's not going to happen, so forget about it, including you, Governor Palin, with all due respect. So we'll talk about Romney behind his back, and then we will get into some of the research done by our show staff on just who are the health insurance companies that support health care reform. Are they all opposed to it? The answer is no. We'll be back. PETA's Save the Whales billboard draws criticism. Our number 877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show. In a moment, we're going to be talking about the possible 2012 nominee for the Republican Party for President of the United States. May not be, because it's so early, and I'm not even really interested in that. But Mitt Romney has essentially said something as of yesterday that we've been saying for weeks, if not months, on this show. And yesterday he said it. So if you think that you're listening to a radio program that is talking about giving you some perspective on really what's going on, but we really don't deliver, I'm telling you, or maybe you don't agree with my assessment. What Romney is saying as of yesterday, we've been saying for months, and that is that Obama has had this collection of mad hatters from the Congress and some from his own administration going out and turning this health care plan into deep-fried homemade crap. I mean, he's got these weird asses like Maxine Waters going out there and yakking about it. And then he's got maybe Biden every now and again weighing in, and he don't sound all that credible. And then he's got God knows who else. This is a collection of antique pieces. These people, believe it or not, even though it's only 2009, these people are all from the we hate George Bush era. They're all old school, old hat, done. Been there, done that. Nobody believes them. Nobody has any faith in them. They've all struck the colors of quote-unquote super liberal. And guess what? I hate to break the news. Americans don't dig that particular flavor of ice cream anymore, okay? Any more than they may like the idea of a right-winger on parade, you know, with the Confederate flag belt. They don't want these super liberals telling them about what's good for them, especially when it comes to implementing a government program that's going to cost a lot of money. You better get some people out there, Mr. President, that reflect more what you're saying, which is there is a sensibility and a sensitivity to the idea of private business partnering with government. This is not a new idea, by the way, folks. This happened throughout the history of this country, notably during World War II, where private business and government combined to attack a problem and did it successfully. 877-876-PHIL. Steve in Sylmar, California, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, Steve?
Hi, Phil. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the release of this terrorist that planned the bomb on Pan Am Flight 103 that was on Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988 on December the 21st. My mother-in-law was on that plane.
I'm sorry.
It was a terrible day for our family. I'll never forget it. It's just like it happened yesterday. And yeah. I just think that, this is the first time I heard tonight what you said about the possible reasons why they're doing this. And if that's the reason why they're doing it, it's just sending a wrong message to the whole world. Because in my opinion, this war that we've had on terror has been, you know, even before 1988. And I just wanted to call and say that.
I appreciate that very much. It is a political reality, Steve, with all due respect to the loss that your family suffered. Countries ultimately act in their self-interest and in the interest of not just the present-day generation, but other generations. Am I agreeing with what they did? No, I am not. I just recognize why they did it. And unfortunately, we live in a country, the United States of America, that behaves the same way at times. Political expediency sometimes is better for a country than it is for the individuals who suffered the wrong. Thanks so much for your call. And again, you know, our sympathies to your family. That gentleman lost a brother-in-law on board the Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie. And there's a lot of angry people. You know, the lady who lost her daughter, Susan Cohen, who is sort of a spokeswoman for a great many of the families on that plane. She was very, very angry. Do you blame her? No, you don't blame her. You understand? Of course I understand. Why'd they do it? Well, they're taking a look at the big picture, man. That's the way the world turns. We become a part of a larger machine, and the large machine is called the existence of the nation, the betterment of the nation, the survival of the nation. And what do I think about that? Would I make a decision? I'm sitting here right now. You guys probably ask me, okay, Phil, do you like what the Scottish people or the Scottish court did? No, I do not. Would you have done the same thing? I would have had to have looked at the political realities that I was facing. And by the way, I probably would have gotten a visit from somebody, like I said, from Gordon Brown's government saying, the prime minister would like to tell you what his feelings are on this whole thing. Oh, really? And I think it would be good if you let this clown go, because we're in discussions right now with Gaddafi on this, that, and something else. And what would be my answer? My answer would probably be, okay. Now, I could say no, we're going to go ahead and keep this guy in prison and let him rot. And what I'm doing is, as a officer of the court, I suppose I'm making the just decision. And I'm also mindful of the fact that it would have been legal for me to release him under these humanitarian provisions. But instead, I decide I'll keep him in prison because the just thing in my mind is to let him rot in prison where he belongs. And meanwhile, the government in London says to me, well, thanks a lot for nothing, because now you've really thrown a monkey wrench into this deal. And the next thing you know, man, trying to get something up and running with the Libyans on oil is really going to be hard. And they're really pissed off and this, that, and something else. To which I would have responded, well, you know, you got the Americans over there. I thought they were playing ball with the Libyans. Let them intercede and let them get us some oil. And at the end of the day, I'd be right and they'd be wrong. So I guess I changed my mind. No, I wouldn't release him. All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, what does that mean? First you said you wouldn't, then you wouldn't, then you would not?
I said I understood why they did it. I'm not saying that I would do it myself.
No, that's not what you said.
Yeah, man, first of all, you said that. Will you guys shut up about what I said and what I didn't say? I know what I said.
You said, first of all, Just allow me, okay?
Oh, okay. I'll allow you.
Allow me. First of all, you say, yeah, well, I'd let him go on account of getting the oil from Gaddafi?
Gaddafi.
Yeah. Then you said, no, on second thought, no, I wouldn't. I'm Phil Henry, and thanks a lot for listening.
No, I didn't say that. I was just kind of going through it in my head as to what I would do. Don't tell me what I'm saying.
Man, you're all over the road on this.
Yeah, you're all over the road. Come on, give this guy a sobriety checkpoint test or what have you.
Yeah, okay. Coming up more on the healthcare companies. Are they against the reform? Why don't you guys get out of here and get yourself a Yoo-Hoo?
It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show is all over the world. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. Go over there and open up a Twitter account and follow us, and we'll follow you so long as we're downwind. Ha, 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 ha. And you can also go to Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Henry, and say hello to us. In fact, on our uncensored video cast that we do each and every night on our video feed here at our website, philhenryshow.com, tomorrow night we're going to have our question and answer segment, which we do on occasion. And so if you're over at Facebook, you can ask a question. I'll be on the video feed answering questions and just kind of, you know, talking to our subscribers over there. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Something here from Mitt Romney. I really want to get to a lot of this stuff. It's very important stuff, you know, because I'm not going to half-ass this healthcare discussion and say, well, you know, here it is, and thank you very much. And now let's move on to the model that was found in a suitcase. Yes, we'll get to the model found in a suitcase. Maybe tomorrow night we'll get to that. But the fact is...
What model found a suitcase? I want to look at that.
Yeah, where is that, man?
Okay, go ahead. We'll read about it because I ain't talking. Nonetheless, we got a couple of things here to say about that. Let's go to a phone call first here. This is Jay in Chicago. Jay, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, Jay?
How you doing, Phil? I got a question. I'm trying to figure all this out with this guy over in Scotland and whatnot. And what I understand is what makes him the holy grail to the country of Libya?
Well, if you have... I think it's because the Libyan government sold to their people that this guy was a scapegoat for other interests, perhaps Israeli. No doubt that that was the Libyan pitch. And that it's a bit of a face-saving measure for Gaddafi, who has been perceived in recent years as a guy that's just rolling over with a daisy in it for the West, particularly the United States. Gaddafi renouncing terrorist ties, Gaddafi renouncing the pursuit of nuclear weapons, Gaddafi looking to get closer to the West. And if they want to cut a deal, for instance, the Brits, for oil, Libyan oil, because their oil exports, or their oil imports have gone up since 2005, and they approach the Libyans. The Libyans are in a position perhaps to extract this concession from the British, which will give Gaddafi a little bit of face-saving, make whatever segment of the Libyan population thinks that this scumbag is a hero happy. And so Libya gets what it wants, and the Brits are able to cut a deal, perhaps, for Libyan oil. I don't know. I haven't seen the oil thing anywhere. It's just speculation on my part, though.
Right. Well, that was my big question. I'm kind of banging my head up my windshield here, trying to understand what, you know, if he wasn't released and they'd cut the deal, well, why in the world is this guy so important? I don't get it.
If you cut a deal, it doesn't necessarily mean that the deal is, you know, there's certain things. That's what I'm speculating. But I think that it was an important the way that the Scottish government, the Scottish court, released this guy without a peep from London makes me think that this was in concert with the government in England. And if it was in concert with the government in England, it's got to have something to do with the relations with Libya. I can't see it any other way.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Hey, I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
The show. All I have to
Thanks,
one
man.
Thing, man. No more,
right.
No more people eating on the show.
No. Yeah, okay. Good idea. Thanks for calling. See that?
Yeah, well, I told her not to eat, and she was eating anyway.
Uh-huh. Here is Mike in Anchorage, Alaska. Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What do you got going on tonight?
How you doing?
Hi. Guy? Fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, I just was kind of wondering what undocumented worker means, because when Obama was trying to sell this health plan initially, he was making statements pretty broadly that this would protect many uninsured Americans and cover over 20 million undocumented workers and their families.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When he was making those statements about covering undocumented workers and their families, is that not an illegal alien?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely,
well,
it is.
We better pull out the recordings from when he's originally tried to sell us this idea.
What you're not bringing up here is that the health care bill that is currently for your perusal and everybody else's online, and you can take a look at it, has no. Not only does it not have any provision for insuring undocumented people, Obama has come out against insuring undocumented people as well.
Right. He has now, but when he was originally trying to push this through, it
mm-hmm.
was to cover undocumented workers.
Well, the whole health care bill wasn't specifically to cover undocumented workers. He didn't say, aha, let's get ourselves a health care plan so we can cover undocumented workers. It was to cover uninsured Americans. If he made that statement, he mm-hmm. no longer feels that way. And this goes to something that we like to talk about on this show. I'm not exactly sure what we want from our leaders. Do we want people who are going to be consistently wrong, or do we want people who are going to be wrong recognize how wrong they are and change their point of view in order to ensure a better piece of legislation?
Point well taken.
You know what I mean? I got to give the guy points for saying, you know what? As a matter of fact, Obama's on record. You know it. Everybody knows it. As of 2003, that he wanted a single payer tax health insurance plan. But he's recognized that that's not a political reality. He's not a stupid man. He's not going to get that passed. And instead has gone to what I consider to be a rather uniquely American approach, which is to partner private industry with government.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So anyway, brother.
On a second point, that is our ex-governor Palin up here. She dropped that ball like it was on fire up here. And people up here are not too happy about that.
Well, I don't blame them, and I don't know how she figures this is going to help her become president. But maybe she don't want to be president, man. Maybe she's maybe she wants the fish and game job. I don't know.
I think she got her book deal, and that's what she needed.
All right, Mike. Thanks for your call. Well, good for her. She got her book deal, so that's what she should be doing with her life. It's not being president, and it's not being governor. She wants to write a book, and that's good. She ain't going to get no radio show because they already said, nah. We got burned. We've been burned so many times with the Fred Thompsons of the world and the, what's the guy, William Bennett's of the world, and all these other rank amateurs. No, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Romney, Obama never had control of health care. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, I should preface this by saying, and here is Mitt Romney agreeing with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney said that President Obama gave up control of health care at the very beginning and must put aside the extreme liberal wing of his party to pass effective reform. He decided he would hand this over to Nancy Pelosi in the House. Romney, who ran a failed bid for the GOP's presidential nomination in 2008, said on the CBS early, whatever the hell it's called over there, nobody watches it, the early show on CBS, on the early show on CBS.
Yeah.
Romney said the president hasn't been doing enough to foster Republican support. Let's listen to Mitt Romney, and then let's give you a little perspective on this, because this is a very interesting, this is an interesting point that the ex-governor of Massachusetts is bringing up. But it's got to be explained. You know, oh, what are you, going to apologize for Obama again, Henry? No, I'm not going to apologize. Look it. Is it so hard to understand that when a guy says, I want bipartisan support in the House and the Senate, you guys get together and write the bill? Well, if you had a bill that you write it. You people put your heads together. Now, how effective have they been? Well, we found out. Nancy Pelosi is hated like cancer among her Republican colleagues. Harry Reid is hated like the bubonic plague among his Senate colleagues. The Democratic leadership in the House and in the Senate, the Democratic leadership that Obama said, I charge you now with fostering this bipartisan support so you guys can write this bill. You know, it's not a secret when Obama said, I got the vision, you guys execute. That's the way the ball game is played. Thank you and good night. That was the Ronald Reagan way. If you don't think that Obama was influenced by Reagan, we know he's on record as saying Reagan was a very powerful president, changing the trajectory of this country. Maybe not philosophically he's in alignment with the guy, but he liked the way the guy got things done. And one of the things that Reagan said was, I set the vision, you guys go to work on it now. Obama said, you guys put it together. What he didn't know, or maybe he wasn't as educated on as he should have been, was that the people that he's charged with, the people that he is charged with fostering this bipartisan support and this bipartisan bill, Pelosi, Reid, and the rest of them, are about as popular as a fart in a submarine, man, you know, right after a broccoli dinner. They don't want to know from these people. So here's Romney. Mitt Romney on the health care reform and how Obama's dropping the ball.
He decided that he would hand this over to Nancy Pelosi and the House. He did not fashion his own bill with the measures that he thought were critical for the bill. And the House has created something which is, frankly, entirely partisan. It's not the kind of bipartisanship which the president promised he'd bring to Washington. Actually, what you're seeing in Washington is the status quo on steroids, where the kind of partisanship which is long characterized inaction in Washington is again prevailing. And if the president wants to get something done, he needs to put aside the extreme liberal wing of his party,
right on.
Work together with the middle votes of his party, work with Republicans as well, and get a plan that gets people insured without having the government take over insurance.
Now, Romney's right about that. He's got to, you know, he's just got to get rid of these people that have got, they got about as much popularity, man, as mange, you know. It, just nobody wants to work with them, and they're coming up with horse dung. And the stuff that they're coming up with is just business as usual. We talk about bipartisanship. The president, the only thing I disagree with Romney on there is that, it, not even disagreeing, but you got to, you know, it just isn't all black and white. I understand why Obama did what he did. He said, you guys get together, you work on this. Now, Romney said, no, what you got to do is you got to write the bill and give it to him and tell him this is what I want, get it done, right? Obama tried a different tack. But what he did do, and I agree with Romney, what he did do that was a mistake was by turning this over to these people who I don't think, you know, Obama really was up to speed on it, just how much these individuals are viewed with such disfavor by their colleagues. I don't think he got it 100%. Now, the next thing that we want to talk about here, and this is really important, man, you know, healthcare companies, people talking about them driving them out of business, and the healthcare companies, the whole healthcare industry is going to go out of business, and this is a way of taking over the healthcare companies, and this is a way of turning the private health insurance industry into one big fat government program. Are all healthcare companies against reform? The answer to that is no. In a heated debate about healthcare reform, some have taken the stance that all healthcare and pharmaceutical companies are fighting against meaningful healthcare reform, whether it be proposals by Obama or from individual congressional committees. But, despite sound bites critical of the healthcare industries, not all healthcare companies are fighting all reform. Obama explained this last week at a town hall meeting in Montana. He responded to a question from the audience as to why insurance companies have been vilified, and the president said, you're right. The insurance companies in some cases have been very constructive. Here is Obama, by the way. Actually, we've got the clip from Obama. We played that the other day. This is Robert Zirkelbach, who's a spokesman for America's Health Insurance Plan, AHIP. This is a national association representing over 1,000 companies providing health insurance coverage, and he talked to Neil Cavuto on Fox News that not all health insurance companies are the villains that they're working with the White House.
Well, the inconvenient fact is that we actually agree that we need to fix the healthcare system. In fact, our industry stepped up a year ago and proposed the very insurance market reforms we're talking about today. We said that there should be no exclusions for pre-existing conditions. Everybody should be guaranteed coverage. Nobody charged a higher premium because of their health status. And to make that work, and so that coverage is affordable as possible, everybody needs to be in the healthcare system. But gotcha. It's not convenient to talk about our support for reform. It's more convenient to shift the debate, criticize the insurance industry.
Well, you're right, Robert. You're right. You're it right now, like it or not.
Right, and that's what we talked about yesterday when we talked about Waters and some of these people. He's just kind of, just wind them up and they start that about a bunch of crap they don't understand. I don't think Maxine Waters is any more familiar with the healthcare debate than half of these knuckleheads at the town hall meetings. In this clip, we're going to hear a commercial, AHIP. As I mentioned, this is the America's Health Insurance Plan. AHIP is airing this ad calling for bipartisan health care reform. Here it is.
Illness doesn't care where you live.
Okay, thank you. Now, no, here it is.
Illness doesn't care where you live. Or if you're already sick.
I'm going to lose it.
Or if you lose your job. Your health insurance shouldn't either. So let's fix health care. If everyone's covered, we can make health care as affordable as possible. And the words pre-existing condition become a thing of the past. We're America's health insurance companies, supporting bipartisan reforms that Congress can build on.
And one more thing.
Things are bad.
So there it is. And so this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, Your Honor, that the national health insurance private companies are not all opposed to Obama. And the misinformation, the disinformation from knuckleheads and pea brains, and excuse me for saying this, from Hannity and from O'Reilly and from and even some of these lightweights over on CNN that aren't quite sure where they don't want to look like they're sucking up to Obama. They want to look like they're objective. There ain't no information coming that's giving the American people the full view of what the hell is happening. There's a lot of people working their asses off to try to get this crap done. And to have it done in a way that is not entirely unique in the history of the country. I mention World War II a lot because I don't think that there is a time in the history of this country when private business and government worked together so well. You know what came out of the partnership between government and private industry in World War II, other than a win in World War II? Daycare. That's right. Transportation for workers, carpooling, and special van lines to try to get people to and from their jobs. Rotating shifts so that you had factories 24 hours, and this was in concert with the labor unions. Women entering the workforce in capacities and at rates that we hadn't seen ever before. Women earning wages, supporting families while their husbands were in the service. Women in vital industry. This was done by the United States government and the private defense contractors of this country for 5 years, and it worked. It worked beautifully. Why can't we do this with health insurance? What, do we got to have a freaking war to fight? Come on, people. We are fighting a war. Haven't you heard?
Things are bad.
That's right. All right, we'll be right back with the stories we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now the stories we couldn't get to, which we finally do get to this evening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. From Dequeen, Arkansas, comes this bit of flavor. Police said a man arrested on an outstanding warrant following a traffic stop was accused of leaving marijuana in the police officer's patrol car. Yeah, sure. How do we know it wasn't the cops? Anyway, a police report said Sergeant Chad Bradshaw arrested a 31-year-old man after stopping him Monday for having no tags. Well, the man was taken to jail by another officer, and Bradshaw later returned to the police department where he found in the back seat a clear plastic bag containing what's believed to be marijuana. Could be oregano. Nonetheless, the man now faces a charge of possession of a controlled substance and remains in jail pending an appearance in Sevier County Circuit Court. Authorities say a St. Louis-bound Southwest Airlines flight was forced to return to Oakland International Airport after a male passenger stripped, hit another passenger, and fought with crew members. Alameda County, some people just are afraid of flying, you know. Alameda County Sheriff's deputies say Flight 947 returned Thursday morning after 21-year-old Darius Shapiel of Oakland allegedly exposed himself to the female passenger sitting next to him and punched her in the face. Lieutenant Howard Jacobs says flight attendant and other passengers then subdued Shapiel as he disrobed. He was apparently completely naked when sheriff's deputies arrested him. Shapiel and the woman were taken to the hospital for minor injuries. The Southwest Airlines representative says the flight took off from Oakland again around 10:16. Nude incident in the air. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, police are looking for a man they are calling a foot fanatic. The man's accused of walking up to random women and then licking their feet. No, he was accused of walking up to a random woman and licking her feet. The woman said it happened around 8 p.m. on Saturday. Cambridge police said the man is a middle-aged and that he licked the woman's foot inside the Whole Foods on Alewife Brook Parkway. Now, I wonder if this was that guy Mackey. I wonder if he's trying to...
Yeah, I bet he's trying to keep the heat off.
So this guy James Mackey or John Mackey or... I thought John Mackey was a tight end for the Baltimore Colts. I think he's the guy that's licking women's feet to take the heat off of Whole Foods. That's what I think. Yeah, sure. The Arlington Advocate reported that he told the woman he liked high heels and asked if he could take a picture of her shoes. He knelt down and proceeded to kiss and lick her foot. Police said they consider this incident assault and they are still looking for the man. A centuries-old festival in which residents from rural or from rival Indian villages throw stones at each other, often leaving people dead or injured, has been banned. The annual Ghatmar Festival in an impoverished central region of the country involved teams... What country is this? This is in France. No kidding. What? France? What Indians do they have in France?
They're like, they got Indian, the French Indian.
Well, anyway, we don't have any time to read this other than the fact, look it up online, okay? It's the Ghatmar Festival where Indians throw rocks at each other in France? I don't know. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, for on-demand audio of tonight's show tomorrow. From the El Pacifico, a very good evening.
Phil Hendry.